Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Suzanne here with New Beginnings Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. It is Wednesday, October 17th, and we're here tonight to talk about prophecy. Prophecy is our topic tonight. Brother Norm is here with me in person tonight and not online.
Good evening.
And do we have someone else? 803, are you there? Someone from 803 who's kind of shy is with us, and I won't put you on the spot, 803. Let's begin with prayer, please. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to you this evening in prayer, Father God, and in our Bible study. We thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit would direct this meeting and that the word would be rightly divided, the seeds would be planted in the hearts, Father God, that people will be inspired, Father God, and motivated, dear Lord, by the word. I thank you, Lord, that lessons be learned, Father God, and that this new revelation to those that are unaware, Father God, that they also take it and run with it. We praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, take over this meeting. Take over the meeting. We ask the Holy Spirit completely fill this room right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, thank you, thank you, callers, for being here with us for this hour and a half on Blog Talk Radio. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So let's get started. We said that our topic tonight is prophecy. So what is prophecy? What is prophecy? Well, that's what we're going to find out tonight. Let's begin with, we're going to go through some scriptures. I do want to start with one that we had online for you. If you looked up and are checking us out online, the byline for this broadcast was, the purpose of prophecy is to communicate God's message to people, providing insight, warning, correction, and encouragement. Whoa. So let's dig in a little deeper and find out what the Bible says about prophecy. Let's begin with Revelations 10:19. Revelation chapter 10, I'm sorry, chapter 19, verse 10. Revelations chapter 19, verse 10.
I'll read that. Give us about a moment to get there. At this, I fell at the feet and worshiping him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold to Jesus' testimony. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the spirit of prophecy is to tell about Jesus. Amen. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I'm going to read it again in the Living Bible version because you all know how I love the Living Bible. Dearly loved friends, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it is a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is, for there are many false teachers around. And I'm going to go on to two. And the way to find out if their message is from the Holy Spirit is to ask, does it really agree that Jesus Christ, God's Son, actually became man with a human body? If so, then the message is from God. If not, the message is not from God, but from one who is against Christ, like the Antichrist. You have heard about who is going to come and his attitude of enmity against Christ is already abroad in the world.
And that's where the, then it says, this is where the scripture comes, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So this passage, anyone want to comment on it?
I think also it speaks of there being false prophets, and we want to make sure that we're in communication with our God. Literally speaking, the Bible, also prayer, which is communication with God. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, as you said, is this for Jesus? Is this the direction, the path, or the framework, the foundation that Christ has established and he wants us to follow as being Christians?
Amen. 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 You can tell, and I know we're going to talk about it later on in the study, but the first question we should ask ourselves is that, is this of God? Is it of God's character? And if you have a relationship with the Lord, if you've read the Word and you commune with God and you're worshiping Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, then you have an idea of his character. So if someone calls himself a prophet and tells you something that's not of God's character, not like God, then you know that it's from a false prophet. Let's turn to...
And also, you should also observe not just what they say, but also what they do.
Amen. 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 That's really important, Brother Norm. Let's look at Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians, right between Galatians and Philippians. Did I tell you how I learned that? God's Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. And that's how I always remember the order that they come in. God's Electric Power Company.
That's a good one.
Okay, so if we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Brother Norm, you want to read it?
Absolutely. What's the verse again?
Verse 17.
I'm sorry, they have a chapter book.
Chapter 1.
I think it's basically I need some glasses. Okay.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Here it is in the Living Bible. I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly and really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And this was Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, telling them that he constantly prays for him. But I think what we need to see is that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That was the next verse. Let me read the whole from up to 19. Let me start all over again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So who we are, Christ has given up for. And who we are, Christ has given unto us. And he's given unto us great power, incredibly great power, for everyone who believes. Incredibly great power for everyone who believes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1.
1 Corinthians?
Yes, please.
14, verse 1?
Yes, please.
Follow the ways of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For those who speak in tongues do not speak to other people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but those who prophesy speak to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Those who speak in a tongue edify themselves, but those who prophesy edify the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you have your prophecy. Those who prophesy are greater than those who speak in tongues, unless they interpret so that the church may be edified.
Now, that's a whole Bible study in itself. That is a whole Bible study in itself. Brother Norm, what do you have to say about that? Those verses.
Well, I think basically, we prophesize, we're edifying our people to follow God, follow Jesus, and we want to speak in terms and act in terms that people can understand. It's fine to speak in tongues, when you're speaking in tongues, you're talking to God. God can understand you. When you're speaking in tongues, but when you're spreading the gospel and you're edifying, you have to speak so that people can understand, and you edify the church. Unless you have an interpreter who can then interpret what you're saying.
Amen.
So it's important that we keep our focus. We don't move ahead of what God wants us to do. We want to follow His roadmap.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And you know what? In this verse, where it says that, but rather that ye may prophesy, So Paul is telling, this isn't Paul. So the Lord is telling us that especially, ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of prophecy. Now, not everyone operates in the office of a prophet, but all of us can ask for the spiritual gift of prophecy and prophesy at times, and there's a difference. So we'll be talking about that.
Well, I think God has His, he has his will, and He has a direction for us, a guideline for us. And He will use us when He wants, when He has specific use for us. We all have, certain talents, and when those specific talents are required, God will use us to prophesy. It may not be that He wants us to prophesy 100% of the time, but He has some designated times in which He wants us to do so.
Amen.
There may be some people He wants them to prophesy 100% of the time.
Amen.
But then, like, there's a time for us to do God's will, where God, directs us, this is what I want you to do. And He may not even tell you what the full plan is. He knows the full plan, but we don't. He shares information with us that He wants us to have to get that particular duty or mission completed. But we only have a small portion of what needs to be done, and then we're expected to do it.
Amen. 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 Let's look at 2 Peter 1, verses 16 and 17. That's 2 Peter, first chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. We're having a little technical issue, and so I hope you can hear me clearly. At 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, for we have not been telling you fairy tales when we explain to you the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming again. My own eyes have seen his splendor and his glory. I was there on the holy mountain when he shone out with honor given him by God his Father. I heard that glorious majestic voice calling down from heaven, saying, this is my much-loved Son. I am well pleased with him. So we have seen and proved that what the prophet said came true. You will do well to pay close attention to everything they have written. For like light shining into dark corners, their words help us to understand many things that otherwise would be dark and difficult. But when you consider the wonderful truth of the prophet's words, then the light will dawn in your souls, and Christ, the morning star, will shine in your heart. For no prophecy recorded in Scripture was ever thought up by the prophet himself. It was the Holy Spirit within these godly men who gave them true messages from God. Now, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the Old Testament being the shadow of the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, the prophets would speak, and we made the correlation a couple of weeks ago about the prophecies of Christ's coming. And if you remember, and if you've listened to it, or you can go back in the archives and listen, we made the correlation between Old Testament scripture and New Testament scripture, where Christ was, there was a prophecy that Christ was coming and what to look out for, what the signs would be, and all those signs came to pass in the New Testament. Now, God's not finished with us, though. He's not finished with us because in these days we have prophecy. The gifts of prophecy are still in operation and operating in our churches. It's crossing denominations that the gifts of prophecy and those apostolic, the gift of the apostles are in operation and operating in our churches. And again, I'll say across denominational lines. So it's not just the apostolic, it's not just the Pentecostals, the Baptists and Lutherans and Methodists and lots of different Christian denominations are seeing the operation of these offices right there in their congregations. So as we saw that the prophets operated then, remember the scriptures were written down. The scriptures were written down. And what does Habakkuk tell us and then Jeremiah tells us? To write the message down and make it plain. And when it comes to pass, you can run with it. So if we saw the message and if we studied the Bible and read in the Old Testament, you can go to the New Testament and say, hey, it really did happen. Now think about those first century Christians, the Christians who understood, who read the scripture and understood, they had a revelation that this is what the Old Testament prophets were talking about. And can you imagine that their excitement for being alive and living and being living witnesses to that time, that they were witnessing the coming of the unfolding of those prophecies. Well, we have prophets today too. And remember, Revelation is our last book in the Bible that gives us prophecies also. Let's go on to, you have to excuse my voice, to Acts 21:11. Acts 21:11.
Now coming over to us, he took Paul's belt and tied his own hands and feet with it and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles.
I'm going to go back and read in the Living Bible. During our stay of several days, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea and visited us. He took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands with it, and said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jews in Jerusalem and turned over to the Romans. Hearing this, all of us, the local believers and his traveling companions, begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart, for I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but also to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, we said that prophecy is given from the Lord as insight, warning, correction, and encouragement. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's look at Acts chapter 11. Verse 27 to 30. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings to predict by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the land of Israel. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers decided to send relief to the Christians in Judea, each giving as much as he could. This they did, consigning their gifts to Barnabas and Paul to take to the elders of the church of Jerusalem. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So another prophet. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28:1. Brother Norm, you got to stop me. Oh, I love this.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Again, remember that we're on you can always check out the archived program on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to Begin Again,
or New Beginnings Ministry. The radio program is called Begin Again, and our ministry name is New Beginnings Ministries. And you can check out all of the previously broadcasted, previously recorded program on that station. And you can share this one with a friend. If you're online and you want to share it, you can send the link to someone or just give them my phone number. That's 347-237-4054. And again, we're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Hey, Brother Norm?
Deuteronomy 28, verse 1.
Yes, please.
If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all his commands, I give you your today. The Lord, your God, will see you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord, your God. You will be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your hands, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks, your baskets, and your kneading tub will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise against you will be defeated before you. They come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barn and on everything you put in your hand to the Lord. To your Lord will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on earth, on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord, your God, and walk in obedience to him, then all the people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant property in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You will pay attention in the commands of all of that of the Lord, your God. But I give you this day, carefully follow them, and you will follow always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, in the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These are the promises of blessing that were given to Moses to the tribes of Judah that what would happen. Now, the chapter before that tells them about the curses. And remember, curses are basically promises, too.
But here's the promise of a curse. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, that if you worship other gods, if you are living wrong, that it itemizes the curses and the reason for the curses. But in Deuteronomy 28, here's the blessing, how much you're blessed. And I love and it reminds me of a song, and I can't think of who the praise and worship song is by, but by being blessed in the city and blessed in the field, you know, that you'll be blessed. And it's such a great promise that it just does something to me. Or like right now I feel like I'm getting goosebumps to be the blessings that are in the city, the blessing in the field, that you'll have many children, you'll have ample crops, large flocks and herds, blessings of fruit and bread, blessings when you come in, blessings when you go out to defeat your enemies, that you will always have good health, the promises, I mean, just everything, that your nations, the nation will be blessed, and those that look at you will know that you're blessed and know who you belong to. Amen. And this was prophesied. This was prophesied to the people, to Moses and the elders and the people that wanted to cross into the promised land. This was prophesied to them.
And this is God's will, and following His command.
Amen.
And that you will receive these blessings. We have to recognize that sometimes we're blessed and we don't even acknowledge the blessings that we have received.
Amen.
And the blessings are there.
Amen.
Sometimes we want to focus on the negative and not recognize that, you know, that those aren't really negatives. Those are really blessings that have been bestowed upon us.
Yeah.
No matter how we look at it, but we're doing God's will. That should not even be a question.
Amen. And these are the blessings of following the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are broken down so simply. In reality, I believe that I was taught there were 618 commandments altogether, but they were, synthesized, and I know that that's a 20th and 21st century word, but they were put together so that they all came down to the word, came down to 10, 10 commandments. So if you just follow the 10 commandments, these are the blessings of the 10 commandments. And they were prophesied on what would happen. Just do this, and this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours, that your children will be blessed.
And all this also calls for, having faith in things that are not seen.
Amen.
And that we follow God.
Amen.
And do His will, not our will, or anticipate what we think He wants.
Amen.
Or dealing with false prophets, you know. It's the same thing. Sometimes we can become false prophets ourselves, but we have to stay focused on what God's will is and follow His instructions.
Amen.
And not do what we think He wants us to do or try to help Him. He doesn't need our help.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Brother Norm, you're cooking tonight.
Well, I'm in good company.
That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, this world's last hour has come. You have heard about the Antichrist who is coming, the one who is against Christ. And already many such persons have appeared. This makes us all the more certain that the end of the world is near. Mm. Brother Norm, do you have anything to say about that verse?
I think It really speaks for itself, you know, warning against denying the Son. But anyway, as I was saying before, we have to have faith in God and His will and follow the Scriptures. God has given us a roadmap to what He wants us to do. And we talked about the blessings, we've also talked about the curses. There's a framework, you know, God, we kind of stray. He's going to... being his people, He's going to, you know, redirect us back into where we need to be.
Amen.
You'll put this wall here to stop us from going any further for our own good. Amen. Because God recognized we want to do His will, but we're deviating. We're starting to sway a little to the left, a little to the right, as far as going straight, which is His will.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, He will give us some type of correction, you know. And to what degree do we need that, He will provide it in a loving manner, as a father will to His own son.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at Revelations 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1.
Revelation 4:1.
Yes, please.
The throne in heaven. After this, I looked, and the four me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this."
So that's like a prophetic vision that was given.
When the heavens opened, you know, the voice, I think that was the voice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Obadiah, verse 1 and chapter 1, verse 15. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 15 in the Living Bible. The Lord's vengeance will soon fall upon all Gentile nations. As you have done to Israel, so will it be done to you. Your axe will boomerang upon your head. Let me keep going. You drink my cup of punishment upon my holy mountain, and the nations round about will drink it too. Yes, drink and stagger back and disappear from history. To woe, no longer nations anymore. Wow. So this is the prophecy or the warning, as we said again. Prophecies are to give us insight, warning, correction, and encouragement. And this is definitely a warning that the Lord's vengeance will soon fall upon all Gentile nations. As you have done to Israel, so will it be done to you. And that's a warning. And this is something that throughout history that people have been reminded of, about the people of Israel, that we are to be allies to them and to allies to Israel. That to not be an ally of Israel is to ask for damnation or coal to be heaped on your head. What are your feelings?
There are natural consequences. You know, God, you know, natural consequences, you know, as God has directed us. And if we go against God, you know, we expect there to be, you know, punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been warned in advance. So we have to make a decision what side we're going to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to faith, and faith is demonstrated by acts and works.
And it's obedience, too, and having wisdom, because wisdom is looking at what has happened and learning from history. Wisdom is learning from history. And there's no nation that has gone against Israel that has been successful in it or prospered afterwards. So I know that's a political
a political area, and we don't want to get into politics here on the radio. That's a talk for another day in another station. But it gives us something to think about, how the Bible is instruction book on how to live. What do they say? The Bible is an instruction book of life before eternity or something like that, before leaving Earth.
Yeah. I also, in modern, times, in technology, I see the Bible as our GPS, our global guidance system,
Yeah, yeah.
The only way we, by following it, we'll get where we need to be.
Amen.
And not get lost. If you have any doubt, any questions, go to the Bible.
Amen.
And also surround yourself with people who are also Bible centers.
Amen.
And you provide some assistance, because even in interpreting, the Bible, but also with prayer, and prayer is also, mere communication with God that puts us in touch with Him. And He will answer us, and He will give us the direction that we need.
Amen. Let's go to Psalm 12, chapter 12, verse 2. I'm sorry, Psalm 122, verse 6.
122?
Mm-hmm. This is the perfect verse for what we just read. Psalm 122, verse 6 reads, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper." May all who love this city prosper. There's a promise. There's a promise that if you love the city of Jerusalem, that you will prosper. Remember, if we're friends of Jerusalem, we will prosper. The enemies will be dealt with by the Lord. Oh, Jerusalem, I'm going to keep going, because I love context clues. Oh, Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. This I ask for the sake of all my brothers and my friends who live here, and may there be peace as a protection to the temple of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me go back to 122, verse 4 says, "All Israel, Jehovah's people, have come to worship as the law requires, to thank and praise the Lord. Look, there are judges holding court beside the city gates, deciding all the people's arguments. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 19 and 24. Romans chapter 11, verse 19 to 24. "Well, you may be saying, those branches were broken off to make room for me, so I must be pretty good. Watch out. Remember that those branches, the Jews, were broken off because they didn't believe God, and you are there only because you do. Do not be proud. Be humble and grateful and careful, for if God did not spare the branches He put there in the first place, He wouldn't spare you either." Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is very hard on those who disobey, but very good to you if you continue to love and trust Him. But if you don't, you too will be cut off.
Also, you think about it.
Let me read the next verse. Wait a minute. "On the other hand, if the Jews leave their unbelief behind them and come back to God, God will graft them back into the tree again. He has the power to do it. For if God was willing to take you, who were so far away from him, being part of a wild olive tree, and graft you into his own good tree, a very unusual thing to do, don't you see that he will be far more ready to put the Jews back again who were there in the first place? Brother Nora?
Amen. Commentary, you know, when you think of a tree, it's trees are usually very healthy, but anyway, it's got leaves on it. But anyway, the branches that are on the tree carry the leaves. But once they receive its nourishment from the roots of the tree. But once the branches actually fall from the tree, it's no longer connected, and it no longer receives the nourishment from the tree, and it dies.
Amen.
And and the branches that remain are stronger. They stay healthy. They live. But for to be reunited with the tree is a true it's like a resurrection that you can come back and be reattached to the tree and continue to live.
Revived. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I like this analogy to agriculture. I remember my grandmother. I talk about my grandmother a lot, Donna. I remember my grandmother would talk about grafting trees and vegetables. So if there were, like, you could make put an apple tree and a pear tree together by splitting it and engrafting a piece of a branch of another tree or another plant inside or to the side of a host plant, and that if it were to catch hold or if it were to start to be nourished, they would grow up together. So the new engrafted piece will begin to grow and prosper just like the host piece. And I think of that when I think of us being adopted into the body of Christ or engrafted into that tree that the Lord was talking about. He said we were like wild olives. Like a wild olive tree. You know, by nature, those trees would be like just growing wild in the wilderness. It just happened to fall somewhere and started growing. Just like the underbrush, you know. And when we clean out the underbrush, we throw away all of that. We throw away all of that. But the Lord said he would not throw us away because we believe, but we're not supposed to be haughty and prideful. In that we've been taken in and engrafted into the tree, we're supposed to be humble and thankful that we were engrafted into the tree. And because the Jews are the natural part of the tree, that if those that come around will be taken back and engrafted back into the tree also, because they belong there in the first place. I praise God that they didn't obey, and they were disobedient and sharing with us, because what they were told to do was to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus was a Jew, they thought, well, he's just ours and we'll keep the news. This is Jewish law. This is Jewish this. This is Jewish that. And that it was not available to us. But it is. God commanded them to share it, to give it away. My pastor says, and I'll say it again, we're blessed to be a blessing. They were blessed to be a blessing to others, and that includes me.
Amen. Also having, God sending an actual teacher here to earth that we can relate to.
Amen.
Us being human, we say, I can't do this or I can't do that, But to have an actual teacher here on earth, Jesus Christ, that we can follow, be Christians and follow in his path, the things that he went through.
Amen.
And continue to do God's will.
Amen. Amen.
It's an example of what we're supposed to do.
And you know what? I don't know if I'm on the right path or not, but it's something just came to me, and I'm believing that that I may be. So correct me if I'm wrong, or if anyone is listening and sees it another way, please share it with me. But I believe the Lord is saying that cutting away, that cutting away and engrafting is part of this covenant with us also, that just like through the covenant there was the circumcision and the cutting and the sacrifices, that in cutting the tree and engrafting us there and putting us there, that's part of his covenant with us. That's part of his promise to us. But he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. So we are grafted into God's tree. Amen.
Part of the promise.
Part of the promise.
And the contract.
Part of the promise. So how does prophecy apply to you? How does prophecy apply to you? We got to remember that there's the fivefold ministry is, and I learned this by using my hand. So if you take your hand and you look at it, the evangelist, we'll start with the apostle. The apostle is the thumb because he holds things down, and you can't do anything. You can't grab a hold to anything without the thumb. And the pointer finger is the evangelist. I believe that's how it goes. The pointer finger is the evangelist telling you to come to Christ. And I think about there was a minister downtown Cleveland that used to be on the street, and he'd go to school at Cleveland State, and he'd be out there preaching and pointing his finger and hollering at everybody. I can't remember his name. Do you remember his name?
No, but I remember him.
I remember him. And I used to talk to him.
From Terminal Tower.
Right, right, with red hair. Yeah, he was a knowledgeable man, too. And then the preacher's in the middle because he stands tall. And the teacher, I believe I'm doing right, then there's the teacher and then the prophet. And the prophet is important because the prophet may be kind of quiet and he may look kind of he's not very social very often, but your hand can't do much without that baby finger to balance things, without the thumb and the baby finger, the apostle and the prophet. So in these times, the apostle and prophet, we're seeing that those offices are being revived in all churches, as I said earlier. There's one main principle in the scripture that says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. That was 1 Corinthians 14:1, that the Lord wants us to ask for the prophecy. So even if you're not, if you don't have the, haven't been called to the office of a prophet, you can still prophesy. So to be able to prophesy doesn't mean that you have to be called to that office. For instance, you can be, maybe your gifting is a teacher, but that doesn't mean that you aren't able to evangelize. It's just that some people are called to that office, and that's their most dominant, and that's what they're called to do. Amen?
Amen. Also being a child of God, which we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have certain responsibilities and certain gifts that were given, they were innate, they were given to us by God.
Amen.
Who created us. And he has his will. And there may be, you know, we're not going to understand his complete will. He's going to share with us what he feels we need to know, what we can handle.
Amen.
And it's our job to do that. And so anyway, there may be times that we get a message from God. Through prophecy, you may speak, you know, speak to us, have an angel speak to us, or have another individual who an angel spoken to him, you know, speak with us about, you know, what we need to do, you know. But we do have the responsibility to prophesy, to spread the gospel, to be a teacher, to set an example, not only with words, but also by action.
Amen. Amen, Brother Norm. Brother Norm's on fire tonight. Amen, Brother Norm. I want to give you a definition for prophecy. There are a few books that I pulled out, that, and you know I love to read. So including the Bible, one book is Apostles, Prophets, and the Coming Moves of God by Bill Hammond. I have The Voice of God by Cindy Jacobs, a wonderful book. The Seer, and this book is by Jim Gall, like Dahl with a G. The Prophetic Imagination by Walter Brueggemann. God's Armor Bearer by Terry Nant. Prophets, Pitfalls, and Sensibles by Bill Hammond. Prophets and the Personal Prophecy, again by Bill Hammond. And Activating the Gifts of the Holy Spirit by David Ireland. And My Serendipity Bible. So I really enjoy all of these books. Well, these are just some of the books I pulled out that I thought someone else might enjoy. So if you have a moment, you want to read some of them, here they are. That's what I read. So what was the question? Define prophecy. Prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known tongue. The Hebrew word to prophesy means to flow forth. It also carries with it the thought to bubble forth like a fountain, to let drop, to lift up, to tumble forth, and to spring forth. The Greek word that is translated prophecy means to speak for another. It means to speak for God or to be his spokesperson. The gift of prophecy is the supernatural imparted ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and speak God's mind or counsel. Prophecy ministers not only to the assembled group of believers, but also to individuals in three main purposes. And one is to edify, to build up, strengthen, to make more effective, to exhort, to stimulate, to encourage, to admonish, or to comfort, to cheer up. Thus, prophecy overcomes two of Satan's most common attacks, condemnation and discouragement. If you get a word that is condemning or discouragement from someone who calls themselves a prophet,
they're probably God's word.
It goes against
God's word will and will.
Amen. The gift of prophecy is the special ability that God gives to members of the body of Christ to receive and to communicate an immediate message of God to his gathered people, a group among them, or any one of his people individually through a divine anointed utterance. Praise the Lord. Brother Norm, do you have anything to add?
I think, sometimes, like I said, we're doing God's will, not our own. There may be things that we're told to do by God that we don't fully understand, but we're still to do it,
Amen. Amen.
Because this is God's plan. We don't see things on his we don't have the full picture.
Mm-hmm.
We only have a very small, view of what's to be expected. But anyway, to follow his commandments and to do his will, and he will direct us. He'll give us additional direction in what needs to be done. But all of us have the responsibility to do God's will, especially if we read it and he speaks to us, and he also sends us prophets, sends prophets to us and directs us to at times to prophets. And it may be on multiple occasions, it may be on a few occasions, but even in our actions, we're prophesizing.
Amen.
Especially the things you say. We want to make sure we're building people up and leading people to God, not away from God.
Amen.
We don't want to serve as a stumbling block, someone reaching God. That's really the ultimate sin.
Amen. persons anointed with the prophetic ministry speak the word of the Lord in the name of the Lord. They carry weight in the church by virtue of their ethical, moral, and spiritual urgency of their message. Their credentials, credibility, and status as prophetic vessels stem not from birth or by official destination, but by the power of their inner calling and by the response of those who hear them. Now, usually prophets make no special claim to be heard, but are content to speak and act and leave the matter there, confident not in themselves, but in the fact that they have heard from God and that every word from him will find fulfillment. Usually the prophets that I know, I have two friends that have, that are called to the office of the prophet, and their personalities, I learned from the first one, like Nata Crowder, that she's not a very, not at all flamboyant, very humble, both of them, very humble and reserved and very appreciative of their time of solitude or their time of Sabbath. So they, like, separate themselves often. They're quiet. One of them, you wouldn't even, she's so, so reserved and so quiet that you wouldn't even expect her to say a word if you saw her out. She's just very, very quiet, very timid-like. The other one isn't so timid, but she's kind of like a loner also. And so they kind of, but they're confident. They're confident. And when the Lord gives them a word, you see, or a prophecy to share, it's like you can see the anointing on them because it just comes forth. I've used the word confidence before, but the confidence, the power in the way that they speak, the force and the urgency that you see in their face when they talk, their gestures and so forth, is from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is inspiring them. Mm-hmm. And after they've given the prophecy, it's like they just,
I noticed you spoke of them initially. Most of it was not so much what they said. It's the air of confidence and how they carry themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they would speak, then they spoke God's word. But then they returned to not being boisterous or loud or speaking. They went back to getting humble and confident.
Amen.
And that's how we should be, even when, we have, some of us have the gift of the ability to speak and to individuals or to groups. Some of us are kind of shy,
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was listening to a pastor talk about, travel, you can get on an airplane and we're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And, but maybe it's a 5-hour flight, but we can sit next to that person and not say a word to them. Whereas it's a perfect opportunity to speak to them and talk about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about God.
Amen.
Acquaint yourself with them, and let them get to see what you're about.
Amen.
So that gives you an awesome opportunity to prophesy.
Amen. I want to talk about when you receive a prophecy, because I've had different prophecies. So you have to test the prophecy. Some people make grave mistakes by taking a prophecy that someone has given them, and that prophecy may be false, or the prophet may be a false prophet. So how do you test it? The spiritual test. Is does the revelation edify, exhort, or console? Remember 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. The end purpose of all true prophetic revelation is to build up, to admonish, and to encourage the people of God. Ask yourself, number two, is it in agreement with God's will and God's word? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. True revelation always agrees with the letter and the spirit of scripture. Always. Point number three, does it exalt Jesus Christ? He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. John 16:14. All true revelation ultimately centers on Jesus Christ. Point number four, does it have the truth? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Does it have good fruit? Are they boastful and arrogant and prideful? Are they financially irresponsible? Are they immoral? Have they broken vows? Are they from broken homes? You know, you have to think about that. Think about who is saying that. Because the Lord doesn't call people to the office of a prophet who can't stand up righteously before the church and speak. Point number five, if it predicts the future event, does it come to pass? Any revelation that contains a prediction concerning the future should come to pass. Now, sometimes it's the will of a person involved. Sometimes it's a nation can repent, like with Nineveh, that the whole nation repented. Sometimes it's a messianic prediction, and it takes hundreds and hundreds of years. And sometimes it's a prediction, an individual prediction or a corporate prediction that will come true shortly. Does the prophetic prediction turn people toward God or away from God? Remember, a prediction from a prophetic utterance, a prophetic word should turn people towards God. If it's coming from God, it should turn them towards God. Point number seven, does it produce liberty or does it produce bondage? God gives us liberty. The Holy Spirit produces liberty, not bondage. God, Jesus Christ, came to set us free, not to bind us up. Bondage comes from the enemy. Point number eight, does it produce life or death? We've said it over and over again, Brother Norm. We're to speak life. Right. The Holy Spirit gives life. The Word of God gives life. Jesus Christ came to give us life and life abundantly. Abundant life, that's abundant life right now. True revelation from the Holy Spirit always produces life and not death. And does the Holy Spirit bear witness that it is true? As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. That's 1 John 2:27. The Holy Spirit within a believer will confirm a word that you've received. And you can always ask for confirmation. Our Bible study the other night, I was talking about that. And you can ask the Lord to give you confirmation on a word. So one of the things that that I do when I get a prophecy, and I suggest that you do, is write it down. Write it down. You get a prophetic word, write it down. Pray about it. Share it with someone that you trust. You also have to be careful about sharing your prophecies. Hold on to it for a while. Pray about it. Share it with someone. Share it with especially your pastor or trusted leader, mature Christian leader in your church, in your community, and test it. Test it. I always ask for confirmations, and I test it. And the Lord will give you confirmations. I ask the Lord for dreams. I ask the Lord to give me confirmations in people and give me confirmations in my spirit through the Holy Spirit to confirm prophecies and you write it down. And when you write it down, you can save it and check it out if it comes to pass. So prophets that, and I always like to, like I was telling you about my friends that are have the two friends that have the prophetic gifting, that I always like to let them know that when a prophecy comes to pass, because I believe it's good for them to know that, yes, they did hear God.
That's encouraging.
It's encouraging to them and their gift, not that they are doubtful of their gift or anything, but as their friend or sister in the Lord, I believe it's good for me to have a word of encouragement for them also. We also have visited a church that has a prophetic presbytery, and that's where a group of people, a group of prophets will prophesy and be in agreement. Agreement, the Holy Spirit will speak to them and be in agreement with them. Sometimes when we're praying for someone, especially in personal prayer, you may come be able to do prophetic intercession. It's like the prayer takes on a different tone. So in praying for someone, sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you about an urgent need of the person, the way that you should be praying, that the anointing will come on you where you need to say something specific to the person, and it speaks to the person's spirit. Do you feel a stirring and a revival in your prayer? And then that's it. So that's part of prophetic gifting also. Brother Norm, did you have anything else to say?
I would just, add on, as I spoke before, that faith piece is very, very important. You really have to believe. And you also have to talk the talk and walk the walk, and in that belief in Christ, and even in oneself. So there are people who are, it's difficult for them to prophesize because they're so negative. They're not speaking life. And even within their own life, they could go to the mirror and they just see chaos. They see flaws within themselves. They don't say, they don't look and say, I'm a child of God. I'm special. God is with me. God is guiding me. Positive things are going to occur. They believe, negative is going to happen. And these are people who are going to prophesy or speak life to you. It's not realistic, But anyway, when you look at prophets, they're doing God's will, and they're walking in His path. They're seeking life.
Amen.
We have to be careful about even how we see ourselves. We have to see ourselves, have a relationship with God, so we're able to see ourselves and look in the mirror, but have a relationship with God and as to how we are or how we should be. And move in that direction.
Amen.
And encourage others to do the same.
Amen. That earlier I said something about the integrity of a prophet and how they have to be a people that are morally upright and righteous, people that the body of Christ would receive in the church and look to for prophecy that can be trusted. So, when you're looking at a prophet, you want to look for someone that's not exaggerating. The prophet must learn to speak only what God tells him or her and go no further. So someone that doesn't amplify or paraphrase. They must be on time for a commitment, that they are trustworthy and dependable, that they keep their word, that if people can trust you to keep your promise, then they can trust you if you have a prophecy from God. So they keep. So a prophet is someone who's trusting. They have a person of, they're a person of integrity and high moral standing. They handle their money properly. Is it not wasteful? they try to make wise financial decisions. They're speaking the word, the pure word from God. They don't taint it. They don't turn it around. They don't take it, take away from it or add to it. Just the pure word of God. Prophets are usually people who can, as they say, shoot from the hip. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And above all else, demonstrate love. Speak love. Speak life. Speak love. And be able to be of a, you know, of a service to God by those actions.
Amen. 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 Brother Norm, did you have anything else to say?
I think we, you know, in the course of our lives, we have to constantly self-examine ourselves and constantly make adjustments. Because we're going to be faced with a lot of challenges that are going to be very difficult. So we want to stay, you know, true to God's word. It says that the book of the Bible, being around other Christians who can strengthen us, iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel, paper doesn't sharpen iron or steel. It's very, very fragile. But we want to be around, you know, people who are God's, who are also God's children, who are our brothers, who are our sisters, who are going to strengthen us to stay on the right path and to assist us in spreading the gospel. It's a team approach.
Amen. I want to say one thing one more time about prophecy, and I'm going to say it hopefully a little bit clearer about testing and prophecy. Remember, test all things and hold fast what is good. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. That we are to hold fast to what is good and test it. So, and testing the prophecy is what has been shared as a prophetic word, scriptural. Sometimes people will say, especially with young people, women may say that I know that this is my husband. The Lord told me that you're going to be my husband, and so and so, and or the Lord told me so, and you know, so and so. And it's basically they're speaking from their flesh. And you have to remember that in speaking about the prophetic word can either be a word from someone who calls himself a prophet. It could be a word from the Lord, which would be true, or it could be a word from the enemy, which would be a false prophecy, or it could be your flesh. And so the case of someone coming up to, like what just said, the woman coming up to a man, Lord just told me you're going to be my husband, probably the flesh. Does the prophecy display the character of Christ? The Lord's not going to tell you to do anything or tell you to look or put you in any way in a way that's going to go against his character. The Lord leads us to repentance, yes. The kindness of God leads us to repentance, but he will not do anything that is too harsh for you and it, or doesn't express the love of Christ. And you have to look again at the fruit of the person. Fruit of the person. Don't take, we should not take anyone's word as gold, as being the final word. You have to check out the source. Check out the source and make sure that it's not, that the person is of God. And it's wise to speak out wise counsel, to share the prophecy either on paper or tape, or if you can remember it, with someone who you trust, who is wise in the Lord, who's mature in the Lord. Again, if there's anything tainted, if the person is a critical or judgmental person, if it shows religious bias towards one religion or a denomination or certain doctrines or whatever, Jesus Christ. It's not about division and doctrines and denominations. It's probably not a prophecy, not a prophecy from God. And you say, and you ask yourself, what is the Holy Spirit giving you in the way of the inward witness? How does it make you feel? What do you feel? Well, there are a lot of ways that you can receive from the Holy Spirit, warnings from the Holy Spirit. Now, there's different types and styles of prophets and prophetess. The Old Testament called them seers, and they would actually have visions that were given to them. And sometimes the visions would be waking visions, and sometimes they would be inner visions or visions in their sleep. There were prophets and prophetess of government, which we still have. Prophets and prophetess that counsel in the body of Christ, the weeping prophets like Jeremiah, those who weep in intercession for the nations. They have a burden for the nations and for communities. They're prophetic dreamers who dream. Prophetic dreamers will often be awakened by the Lord to intercede when warning dreams are given. There's singing prophets and prophetess. Those are psalmists like David. He was certainly a singing prophet. Prophets and prophetess of prophetic administration and are financed like Joseph. He had the anointing for economic systems and for finances. Prophets and prophetess to nations like in Isaiah. Talking about your possession and your inheritance, the prophecy of the Lord, but often it was Rhema to his servant, prophetic orators and teachers, people that speak and are given the gift of communication and teaching the prophetic ministries. They have prophetic messages. They're able to speak to others and make the messages clear. They're prophets and prophetesses in our local churches who, like we said before, they're being awakened in the church, and they present a prayer shield for the church that they come for and prophesy and intercede for us. And the pastors often recognize them and call them for prophecy. And there's the Deborah anointing, where some people have called, which is prophetess, and they have the spirits of wisdom and counsel and are often also spiritual warriors, and they have a strong gift of leadership also.
Yeah, what came to mind, spiritual coaches, and that would be our pastor. The anyway, we have to exercise and by going back to the Bible, doing the things you just discussed, you know, being around our brothers and sisters of God. We're connected in that manner, but anyway, that we stay on the right path. The issue is also a relationship building with God. We want to make sure that we communicate, have a love relationship with God, Jesus Christ, and that we're able to continue to be a spiritual coach.
Amen.
And that's truly what prophet is, and all those, adjectives or descriptions of a prophet.
Amen.
We're strengthening and helping the individuals become stronger in God's word. We're leading them in the right path.
In different ways. You can have prophetic writing. Also, some of us are prophetic writers. So how does prophetic gift function? To awaken and activate the saints to the purpose of God for their time. To be a governmental ministry with the apostolic ministry, to sound the alarm in times of transition, judgment, expansion, and warfare, to prepare the way for visitation of God by addressing opposition and issues able to be dislodged by other ministries, to hear from God in unique ways and bring clarity and perspective to the church in difficult days. We thank you for this time this evening. We ask you, Lord, to bless the word that we've read and that we've digested this evening, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that seeds have been planted, Father God, that knowledge has been shared, Father God, that spirits have been awakened, Father God. We praise you, Lord, for this time. And we thank you, Father God, that you bless each and every family that listens to this broadcast, Father, and that they will be blessed. We look forward to seeing you or hearing from you next week on Blog Talk Radio. This is Dr. Suzanne. Our message was prophecy this evening, and we thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Amen.